gotta live by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. A second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of it today, this Thursday, May 22nd, 2025 edition. Well, with the big, beautiful bill passing the House this morning, now headed to the Senate. And again, the plan is for it to get reconciled in committee, not needing to go back to a floor vote in the House. Changes could come in the Senate, and perhaps some of the things that they put in there to get it passed in the House may not survive the U.S. Senate. I just watching during the top of the hour news break, Fox Business News Channel, and they're saying that there could be some changes in the Senate. For example, the SALT deductions, in order to get Senate support from conservative Republicans, that may be eliminated. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that works out. But one of the U.S. senators, Rand Paul of Kentucky. Now, you got to understand, he's a senator from the state of Kentucky. He says, why are states like his, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Middle America, why are we paying for tax credits for wealthy individuals living, choosing to live in high tax states? Why should we be subsidizing? Why should we be giving them credits off their federal income taxes just because they live in a state where they're paying $40,000 a year in property taxes or local city taxes? So there's some debate still going on. And in the end, after this gets through the Senate and Reconciliation Committee basically works out the differences, this could be a totally different bill by the end of the day, but ultimately passing the Senate, then being reconciled in a committee of both House and Senate members before it goes to President Trump for signing. So, watching it very closely. And honestly, a little bit surprised because the Dow Jones this morning is only up about 60 points. I thought it would be up immediately out of the gate, 300, 400, 500, 600 points, which it may be by the end of the day, but right now starting out very slowly. So we'll see where this goes between now. Well, as I'm talking, the Dow's already up to 70. So it's slowly but surely going up. NASDAQ and S&P 500 are going up as well. NASDAQ is really going up. So It's up 158 points already. So we'll see where this goes. Interest rates is going to be the interesting thing. The bond market, see how the bond market reacts. Hopefully we can start seeing lower interest rates, especially on mortgages, credit cards, and auto loans. Another component of this that I'm watching as well. So greatly appreciate the input, all the text messages back and forth. And we'll continue to follow this, see what's going to happen here over the next couple of weeks before it goes to President Donald Trump for his signature. I believe it's going to happen on Friday, 4th of July. We'll see if that comes true. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Folks out there that own firearms are looking to buy a new or used gun or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Systems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Rainey for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two here on this Thursday, May 22nd, 2025 edition. Joining us on the line right now is Jonathan Deek. He is the founder, organizer of the Institute for Family Justice. And starting out the show, the interview with you today, Jonathan, I want to let you know that we did get a lot of feedback, a lot of people texting me after the interview last week. And I want to start off today's discussion with you asking a very simple, basic question when it comes to the history of this, how things have evolved and changed over the years. Let's focus mostly here in Michigan, because I want to talk about Michigan courts and Michigan friend of the courts and different legislation having to do with family justice here in the state. When did this get so basically off the rails? When I know back in the 50s and 60s growing up, divorce wasn't that common back then, but there were divorces. Don't get me wrong. There were plenty of divorces back then. But it seemed like custody of the children and trying to get along for the betterment of the kids, trying to make sure the kids weren't impacted by divorce back then. I don't remember friend of the court being that prevalent, that aggressive like it has become now. Having time to think about this, when do you think the shift, the paradigm changed in the court system, in the family court system? When did it take place, and why did it take place?
You know, that's an excellent question that actually I haven't researched yet. You know, I've got access to some databases from the state of Michigan where they talk about the cases and when they started. And that would be some great research to do and to dig into, is to know when the divorce rate went up and the custody litigation went up, you know, and started looking at when that happened and when that tide started turning. Because right now we're in a big deal right now. I know that I did do some research lately on how many people are getting married versus how many people are getting divorced. And there's astronomically more people getting divorced than married right now in the state of Michigan.
And that is a problem, I believe, because the nuclear family has been something that has been around since the beginning of time. And with that, those numbers occurring, especially in Michigan, and I'm assuming that this may even be a national trend as well, especially young women making the decision to stay single, to not get married. There's a couple of posts I've seen on social media where the young women are bragging about the fact that they're, you know, in their 30s and they're single, and, you know, they get to sleep in on Saturday mornings. You know, they get to go to the gym, they get to go and have their nails done, they get their hair done, they get to go out and party, do whatever they want to do on a Saturday night. But they don't have those family obligations. They don't have to take care of kids. They don't have to take them to soccer practice on Saturday mornings, you know, things like that. And I'm going, yeah, but they're missing a major component of life, in my opinion, of having kids and having a family and being involved in a healthy relationship, not only with your husband, but your children. I can't even fathom my life without being married to Vicky and my family and the kids and the grandkids and now the great-grandkids. This is a huge, I guess, paradigm shift that is, I mean, where is it going to go? What are we going to look like as far as a society, as far as a nation, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, in the future, compared to years ago when we were growing up? How do you think this is going to happen, and what is it that you guys are trying to do there at the Institute for Family Justice?
Well, you know, I see also a lot of men actually right now going their own way right now, because right now in marriage, you know, with the advent of no fault divorce, and you can just get divorced whenever you decide, you know, men predominantly end up having to pay alimony, pay child support, and so they literally are risking everything to get married and have children. They really have to trust their spouse, that their spouse won't just decide to fall out of love one day and then, you know, take their children away from them and a lot of their assets, and you know, and so it's really dangerous for men too. And I respect women that want to not have children to say that, you know, that's fine. You know, this is a free country. You're free to live the way you want to live as long as you're not hurting anyone else. And it may be better with a woman that wants to live that lifestyle, because then instead of, like, you know, sitting down with a family she doesn't really want to live with the way that the man might want to, you know, and then potentially separating the family, that only hurts the family. So I think it's better that a woman embraces who she is, you know, and lives her life to her fullest instead of, like, potentially damaging somebody else's life by living a life that other people told her to live.
Right. No, I understand that. But I'm just, you know, I'm at a stage, and Vicky and I are at a stage in our lives where, as we're getting older, and I'm seeing this a lot with some of our elderly friends, even older than us, We had beautiful neighbors right next door, Brad and Joan. We love them to death, and talked to them on a regular basis, and went over and watched Michigan State Spartan basketball games with them. They're Spartans like I am. And they were forced, due to dementia and getting older, that they had to sell their house and move downstate into a senior assisted living project to basically be closer to family, to be closer to their children, who could stop by and, you know, take them grocery shopping and do things like that. Well, if young women go down this road with no kids, no family, as they get older, who's going to be there to help them, you know, get through their older years, I guess? And I guess it's just short-sighted is all I'm saying. And ultimately, we want to have families, the nuclear families. But like you say, divorce rates being what they are, we now have to figure out how to deal with this. And this is basically what your group is all about.
Yeah, well, my group specifically about is doing family court reform to make the separation. Unfortunately, when people get divorced right now, separation is way more difficult than it should be. And because it's way more difficult, it costs a whole lot more money and puts a bigger toll on the family. And so what I'm looking at is reforming the way family court operates, divorce court operates, to make it more fair and amicable, to protect the rights of children and their parents.
And so this, basically, you're focusing totally on the court's system, the way they're currently operating, the things that they've changed and implemented, what's the motivation for these courts being overzealous. This is really the foundation of what you guys are all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have several different things that were specifically earmarked to look into to try and address. The most important thing we're looking at is the right to counsel. Right now, they say it's a civil matter, and if you can't afford an attorney, you have to do it yourself. And so you're going through probably the most traumatic thing you'll ever go through in your life, and then forced to learn one of the most complex systems that's in existence, the legal system, and how to understand the language and the laws in order to actually get the representation you want to progress your case for. And right now you're being told, basically this is a civil matter, even though the penalty is potentially the permanent loss of your children. And, you know, if anything deserves a higher scrutiny and a higher standard of review, it would be what we do with our children.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is really, and you've mentioned this before when you've been on the show, you've done a lot of research, this is the fact that the friend of the court has been basically monetized and incentivized to do what they're doing. And it's really basically the problem, the root problem of the situation. What is it, your vision that you see your institute, again, this is Institute for Family Justice, website is there, you can check them out and see all the information there. But basically, what is it that you're hoping to accomplish that could possibly have impact on reforming the friend of the court and the family justice system?
Yeah, I want to have a team of appellate lawyers that provide pro bono appellate representation and take specific cases to the Supreme Court. I want to litigate to the Supreme Court that we should have the right to counsel. So no parent should be deprived of the right of their children without the ability to brief a right of counsel. I also want to change the standard of review to beyond a reasonable doubt, because right now we have a less perfect standard, and the less perfect parent becomes a visitor in their child's life. And if we keep continuing with this less perfect parent and remove all the less perfect parents from the children's lives, eventually you're going to be the parent that doesn't get to have your children, because none of us are perfect. Everybody's inherently flawed, and children deserve imperfect parents because it's all we have. And so I want to change the standard of review to beyond a reasonable doubt, which basically means if you're going to deprive a child access to that parent, you need to have a criminal conviction to show that they're actually not a good person, because everybody makes mistakes.
Well, and on that vein, like you say, we're all imperfect, and you know, we do the best we can. I know in going through counseling early on in our marriage, dealing with our kids and dealing with different family issues, you know, we talked about our parents. Everybody talks about our parents. And you say, well, you know, my dad abused me, or my mother did this, or my dad did that, or whatever. And ultimately, it comes down to the fact we were told that, hey, your parents did the best job they could based on what they saw growing up and how they were trained, basically, to be a parent. And although they may not have done the best job or weren't perfect, you got to resolve the fact that they did the best job they could. And so as a result, this is something that children have to learn, children have to understand. And then, like you say, being exposed to both mom and dad, even though they're divorced, this is very critical to a child's upbringing.
Absolutely. You know, a child is half of both of their parents. And so if they're going to understand their personality and their traits, they need to know both of their parents so they can understand themselves, so they can grow. Because every generation has gotten better at raising children, right? You know, the things were a lot more difficult 300 years ago when we didn't have indoor plumbing or hot water, and we didn't have this great medical system that could keep kids alive. You know, you had to do a lot more to keep your children safe back then, because we live in a lot easier society to live in. And so we're constantly getting better at raising children and making them smarter and more capable, right? And so it's very important for us to continue that trend by allowing children access to both the masculine and the feminine side of their parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. Well, I'm going to give out the website. It's very simple, folks. I for Institute, the number 4FJFamilyJustice.com is the website. You can make donations online. You can mail them a check. They have a P.O. Box 555 in Wolverine, Michigan, 49799. But you can also reach out to these folks. You can schedule an appointment to have conversations with Jonathan and others within the Institute for Family Justice. If you guys know some young people or friends, family that may need this information, just text me, let's do Family Justice, FJ. Let's make it FJ for Family Justice. I'll send you the link, and I'll also send you Jonathan's direct contact phone number for this organization, which is 231-330-6825. Again, 231-330-6825. If they don't answer, just leave a voicemail and they'll get back to you. Final thoughts, Jonathan, message you'd like to say to the folks before I let you go today?
You know, we really need to support the rights of our children in divorce, because really our children should not have to lose.
Absolutely agree with that statement. Got a text message. I wish Jonathan and his group was around about 20 years ago when I was having difficulties with Friend of the Court. But thank God those days are gone, and actually our children are actually closer to us today than they were back then. So greatly appreciate everything you're doing, your group, and everything. So again, just text me, FJ. We'll get you the information, Jonathan's phone number, the website again, the number 4FJ.com. So Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Randy. Have a great one. Bye.
Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source